Magic 104, today's hits. In celebration of the Halloween season, I would like to tell all of you about a great website, MidnightPulp.com. This is a website that has unearthed a timelessly terrifying collection of 80s horror classics and more with their totally rad Halloween Slashtacular Max Edition. And to tell us more about it, as well as what it's like to be in a horror movie, I'd like to welcome to the show an original Scream Queen, actress Kelly Maroney. Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Halloween. Thanks for having me.
Happy Halloween. No problem at all. Thank you so much for coming on. Now, you've been in other projects besides horror films, of course. People may have seen you in Ryan's Hope, in One Life to Live, even Fast Times at Ridgemont High, many others, of course. But you really achieved your cult popularity, we'll call it, through your horror films, especially Night of the Comet, Chopping Mall, and The Zero Boys, great 80s flicks that people can check out at MidnightPulp.com. Let's talk about that transition a little bit into horror movies when you first started doing that back in the 80s.
Okay. It was totally by accident. I got this script for Night of the Comet, and I just thought it read so funny, first of all. It read funnier than it played.
Right.
I was cracking up. I was like one of those things where you're laughing to yourself. And you're on a plane, and you know that you look crazy, but you can't help it.
Right.
That's how funny it was. Then you get into the reality of playing the situation, and it's not as funny because it's the end of the world, right? So, but I didn't really think of it as being a horror movie, except for when I got to the zombies and stuff, I thought, we're all going to have to wear paper bags over our heads when this thing comes out. I actually did a movie called Playground. It was actually my first movie. And it was a horror movie, too, you could say, more about a killer. And I was the first killer. Up to then, you know, I was cheerleaders, but before that, all I played was juvenile delinquents and psychotic killers. So the cheerleading thing was a real departure for me when I first started, but it really fit, because as a human being, I was so enthusiastic. At first, I couldn't understand why they were making me a cheerleader, but looking back, I do know. It's like, just so passionate about what I was doing. I was so excited about every little, oh, look, craft services.
Right. Did you ever think while making these films, now they're kind of looked at, as we know, as cult classics. Was there any type of thought behind that when you're filming these, or you're just in it for the fun?
No, you're in it for the paycheck, too. It's like, you know, unless you're a trust fund kid, you know, you are working paycheck to paycheck, and if something comes along, you're happy to get it, unless you're like George Clooney. It's a solid myth that we're planning our careers out here.
Right.
You know, if you want to start laugh, tell them your career plans.
Right,
so,
on.
It was not my intention, but Night of the Comet came along, and it was such an unexpected piece, you know, unexpected thing that people really enjoyed. I didn't really know that it was going to turn into anything else. And then I started to get offers for other stuff based on the, you know, my visibility in Night of the Comet. So it sort of happened on its own. I did not plan that, but I was happy to be working. And I love, you know, actors love to work. That's why they have to have a union for us, because we'll do it for free.
Of course, of course.
A grown-up has to tell people that they have to pay us, because we're happy to do it for free most of the time.
There we go.
Don't tell anyone.
What about, yeah, right, exactly. What about actually playing scared? I'm sure you get this a lot. I mean, like I said, in Chopping Mall, you said you're running from killers all the time, and then in Chopping Mall, they have you running from killer robots and all of that. How do you act frightened? Is there a motivation thing that you have to kind of look forward to? How do you kind of get into that scared character?
Well, you think about what's going to happen if the director and the DP don't like what you're doing, and that's scary enough.
Okay, all right.
But seriously, folks, I know, sorry. Seriously, you make stuff up in your head. You use your imagination. Like, a lot of it is, you know, if you're just willing to put yourself in that position, is to run around in the pitch black dark, not knowing where you're going, being chased, is inherently terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you really got to be resistant to your present experience if that doesn't scare you at all. And you can take it from there. But it's all imagination. It's play acting. It's like when you're a little kid. You know, and the more you believe it, the more everybody else believes it. And then you, and that will go away after about the fourth take, and you'll have to have a different thing to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that will wear out, and then you got to come up with something else. But you just basically, you scare the daylights out of yourself, what you did. Things I've made up in my head. You've never even seen in a movie, but it got the reaction shot that they needed.
Very cool.
I wasn't really looking at anything at that point.
Right.
It's all spoken words, you know. But it's very much just like what you think it is when you're a little kid.
Okay.
And you're playing, playing house, you're playing.
Yeah.
Whatever you're playing.
Yeah, they always say, like you mentioned, that your imagination is almost worse than the reality of it anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know what terrifies you personally in your soul. So, yes, it's scary to have somebody coming at you with a knife, but you know if you just let your imagination roll, you know what would be especially scary for you personally. Now, the audience doesn't know what you're thinking, but they pick up on it. They're right there with you because they know what scares them. And even though it's not a conscious thought process, it's on a visceral level, an unconscious process, there is it with you too. They're experiencing that, and it's such a cathartic experience that people want to go there. They don't want you to. You're letting people down if you're not scaring the daylights out of them, because that's what they come for. So it's a good chance to like really see how sick you truly are inside.
absolutely. And that's, I think, why horror films have such a fan base. It really is going through that journey with the characters, which is outstanding. Let's talk about that a little bit now. I know that you've been to a lot of conventions, done a lot of interviews all about horror films over the years. I've actually judged some amateur horror film contests in your day. Do you think the genre has changed at all from when you started in the early 80s till today? What about the more horror movies that come out today? Do you think it's changed at all?
Oh, for one thing, it's cool now. When I was doing it, it was not a good career move.
Good call.
It was like,
yeah.
Why are you ruining your career doing this? I don't know how R-rated you are, but doing this bad stuff. I'm not allowed to swear on your show. So it was really looked down upon, and it was not a good career move. Because in fact, I paid a price for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like legitimate people would say, what are you doing that horror stuff for? And it really downgraded your value. Now, horror is hip. People, and that also back in the day, people would do horror to get their foot in the door, like a director or a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because a horror, they'll take something and put a little money into it because they know for sure horror is probably going to pay off, probably going to pay back. So that's how they got their foot in the door, but they weren't necessarily into horror. Now, people come into horror for the love of that genre, which makes it a whole new ball game, and it's cool now, and everything has changed in that way because the creativity, the people that are, I'm always amazed when I talk to people who are coming up in horror now. They are so smart, and they're so in touch with, they're so soulful and so in touch with what's, they're not out there making a horror movie to make a fast buck. Not that the studios probably are, but the people that are making it, this is their heart and soul. They're not doing it just because they need a job.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And I think that's why there's websites like MidnightPulp.com that I created, celebrating the fashion of 80s horror and beyond. Many of your movies are on there, so everybody listening, you can check it out. That's Night of the Comet, Chopping Mall, The Zero Boys, and it's available through the no-charge AVOD freemium model. Others are part of the Pulp Plus program, which is an ad-free premium subscription service at MidnightPulp.com for just $4.99 a month. Thank you so much, Kelly, for your time and talking horror films with us for this Halloween season. So much fun. And I watched The Zero Boys right before I actually interviewed you just last night because I wanted to kind of get the feel of that horror 80s genre. I'm a big fan, and thank you for everything that you've done. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.